The Night is for Hunting, written by John Marsden and read by Susie Doherty.
It was Homer who first had the idea of making another approach to the ferals. The ferals were the name we gave the gang of kids who were running wild in the streets of Stratton. And I mean really wild. They weren't just average, naughty little tackers. They were ferocious, dangerous, frightening. They had caught us and mugged us more successfully than the soldiers. They had at least two guns and a bow and arrow that would be as lethal as a gun, assuming they could use it. But we'd had vague ideas for a while about doing something for the ferals. It was horrible to see kids so young and so crazy. Homer said once that we wouldn't have given up on them if they were our little brothers or sisters. In a vague, abstract kind of way, we all agreed with that idea. We just hadn't ever got around to doing anything about it. We had enough worries of our own. And I don't know about the others, but I was pretty damn nervous of these kids. With the frights and the horrors we'd been through already, I wasn't anxious to go looking for more trouble. Once, I'd offered them some food. I left it on the footpath near their hideout, with a sign saying, "Food, help yourself." But to my surprise, they hadn't touched it. It was strange because I was sure they were hungry. When they mugged us in the alley, they seemed desperate for food. If they were city kids, like we thought, they probably weren't too good at foraging for food. Before the war, they'd probably had a life of supermarkets and milk bars, opening the fridge door and helping themselves to a yogurt or a tomato or a Mars bar. Like the grade 2 kids from the city who'd camped on the Mackenzie's property, one of them asked Mr. Mackenzie, "How do you get the wool onto the sheep?" Anyway, whoever suggested having a go with the kids certainly started something. Fee in particular got quite worked up at the idea of making contact with them again. I suppose enough time had passed for her to forget how scary it was to be at their mercy. My talking about Christmas set her off in a big way. I think she immediately imagined a happy Christmas dinner with everyone sitting around a decorated table and Santa making a surprise visit down the chimney. I didn't get the same picture when I brought it up on my monitor. These kids would eat the reindeer and strangle Santa. But I didn't say anything. I didn't want to spoil her dreams. Fee's one of the last great romantics. Kevin wasn't so tactful. "Are you kidding?" he said when we started talking about it. "You guys told me they were a hair and a freckle away from killing you." "I agree," Lee said. "We've got enough problems of our own. We're just setting up a lot of grief for ourselves if we think we can save everyone." We didn't go as far as putting our hands up for a vote, but we were obviously divided. Our discussion, which was in Grandma's lounge room, broke up without a decision. But I didn't confess to the others that I'd been keeping an eye on the ferals anyway.